Well, if you've had the opportunity to be at Mass yesterday or today and today, or have read the readings from yesterday and, of course, now heard them today, you'll recognize that there is this theme that is coming up about how hypocrisy is so corrosive. And what Jesus wants for us is authentic faith. He wants us to be authentic people. And what I'd like to do this morning is go through that passage again from 1 Thessalonians. For those watching through the live stream, sorry that you couldn't hear that reading, but I'm going to actually go through it bit by bit, so you're going to get to hear it now, and those here in the church will hear it for a second time. But as is often the case when we have readings from Paul, we just get a snippet of that reading, and indeed that's what Judy read for us today, and we might kind of think, I'm not quite sure what Paul is talking about, because after all, our reading begins with the word therefore. So he's connecting it to what he said before. And what is it that he said before? Well, let me give you a little bit of a context here. If you were to read Acts 17, you would read there that St. Paul went to the city of Thessalonica, and he was in the city for 3 weeks teaching at the synagogue. A few Jewish people responded to the gospel, but most of the people in the synagogue were antagonistic towards Paul. Interestingly, though, there were a number of Greeks in the city who got wind that Paul was in town. And he was able to speak with them as well. And this became the church at Thessalonica, made up of some Greek believers and a few Jewish people who were intrigued in hearing about Jesus. But here's the thing that happened to Paul. Because of the antagonism, he had to leave Thessalonica in the middle of the night. He didn't even have a chance to say goodbye to people at the door at the end of Mass. And now, he's concerned about the church in Thessalonica. What's happened to these new believers? And so he asks Timothy, one of his proteges, to go back to Thessalonica and to connect with the community and bring a report to Paul as to how they are doing. So that's the context for our reading. And indeed, Timothy is able to come back to Paul, and he's able to say, beloved brother, they're doing well. They're growing in faith and love, and they remember you fondly, and they are longing to see you again. So with all of that in mind, listen to what Paul says next. For this reason, brothers and sisters, for what reason? Well, for the reason of the report that I just got from Timothy. He says the following. During all our distress and persecution, we have been encouraged about you through your faith. Now, here's the first thing that I find so inspiring about Paul. Like, if I was in his shoes, I would be preoccupied with those who are against me. I'm not liked. That they're pushing me out. And Paul doesn't deny the distress. He doesn't deny the persecution. But listen to his focus. We are encouraged by your faith. What does Paul do here? He doesn't focus on those who are antagonistic to or not responding to Jesus Christ, but he celebrates those who are responding. And so he says, we are truly encouraged. Our hearts are strengthened, which is what the word encouragement means. Now listen to what he says next. For we now live if you continue to stand firm in the Lord. In other words, Paul is saying, if you continue to stand in your faith, this is going to be an ongoing encouragement for me and my fellow apostles. How can we thank God enough for you in return and for all the joy we feel before our God because of you? Sometimes people think Paul's grumpy. That he's dour and a sourpuss. I don't know where they get that from. I mean, here are words that are effusive and filled with this joy and this sense that you people in Thessalonica, I'm filled with joy because I see what God is doing in you. And now he goes on to talk about his prayer for them. Night and day we pray most earnestly, that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. It was so beautiful on Sunday at the 10 a.m. Mass. there were about 300 people here. And there was just this sense of understanding what Paul means when he says to see people face to face. And people actually able to see one another face to face, able to go out into the area in the lobby or outside, and they could talk with one another face to face. And here Paul is saying, I'm looking forward to that sense of being connected in community. But he doesn't just say that. He also says we want to restore whatever is lacking in your faith. What does that mean? Well, he realizes that there is still an opportunity for the Thessalonian Christians to grow in their faith, in their knowledge of their faith and their relationship with God. And may we put it this way here at St. Peter's. As we move forward, the two things that are most essential is to reestablish community, where people can see one another face to face, where people know that I belong at St. Peter's. I am seen and I am cared for. And that we will also be thinking through how do we make more opportunities in the years to come for people to indeed, as Paul says, to have restored whatever is lacking in their faith, so that increasingly we'll become a community where people can be formed and that they can come to know Jesus more and more. That's Paul's desire for this fledgling community. Now, having said all of this, Paul has words of blessing with which he ends our passage for today. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. Do you hear the use of the word abound twice? That you will abound in love for one another, just as we abound in love for you. Jesus does something in the lives of people when he is more and more our personal Lord. We see how he is the personal Lord of that other person too. And that there is this work that is a kind of spiritual mathematics, where that love grows and grows, deepens and deepens. So the first part of Paul's blessing is that I bless you that you will abound in love. And then he goes on to conclude, and may he, that is the Holy Spirit, so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. I want to grow in having Paul's holy perspective, that he's not preoccupied by the opposition of the Thessalonican Jews who are against him. His focus on what he sees happening amongst the people of God, and he has this perspective where he looks to the end, where you and I will be blameless before the Lord Jesus Christ. My beloved brothers and sisters, these verses are words of encouragement for you and me as well. This is a very hard world. It always has been. There are those who, in particular ways, are opposed and challenge the Catholic faith. And again, we still are dealing with the reality of this COVID thing that is not in the rearview mirror yet. And these things can so preoccupy and absorb me, I don't know about what they do in your life, that they can disorientate me. But here St. Paul wants to reorientate our lives, that we are invited to stand firm in the faith, to grow in our understanding of living the gospel. This in turn inspires us to desire the kind of holiness that will allow you and allow me to abound in love, as Paul so beautifully expresses here in this passage. If you have an opportunity later today, can I give you a bit of homework? Please reread this passage in light of what I have shared today and turn it into a prayer for St. Peter's, that the Holy Spirit will continually work amongst us so that what Paul says here will more fully be incarnated here. Beautiful verse from our psalm. Teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. The wise heart is the heart that desires to live as an authentic Christian, depicted so beautifully by Paul. May we at St. Peter's and in your lives and mine learn to calculate with such beautiful divine arithmetic.